today on Life Talk.
In the wilderness experiences of life, God gets our undivided attention. You know, if you were God, you'd be amazed how hard it is to get your attention, because there's all kinds of competing voices, distractions, and sometimes the Lord has to bring us into a wilderness place, really, for us to get certain things out of our life.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it right from our website, lifetalkradio.us. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about the message here on Life Talk.
The children of Israel were required by God to pass through what the Bible calls the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. Sure doesn't sound like a great vacation spot, right? But God had a plan for the wilderness, that it would actually prepare them for the promised land. Likewise, while we don't like our own wilderness experiences, they do serve to teach us lessons that strengthen our faith and purify our hearts. Wilderness experiences teach us to trust God and to lean on His Word. And one of the things the children of Israel experienced in the wilderness was trouble. They were attacked by enemies while traveling through that difficult place, and they also experienced many troubles springing up from their own midst. As with all their other trials and temptations, they had to learn to deal with trouble in God's wisdom. And hopefully we too have gleaned some wisdom from our own wilderness experiences by what we've learned. So let's go right to today's message, the wilderness of trouble, and see what the Lord can teach us through His Word.
Now, we've been talking about the wilderness for a few weeks, and the wilderness of trouble, the wilderness of trouble. Now I want you to notice that God said that He's the one who would bring His people into the wilderness, that He would do it. Now, there are times when God leads His people into a wilderness time. I want you to remember Jesus. Remember when it says that Jesus went down to the Jordan, got baptized in water. When He came up, the Holy Spirit came upon Him. And after the Holy Spirit came upon Him, the very first thing that happened was the Spirit of God led Him into the wilderness. And there He was tempted by the devil. There He really experienced what I call the showdown in the desert. He went arm in arm, hand to hand combat with the devil. And it says when Jesus came out of the wilderness, He came out in the power of the Spirit. So something happened to Jesus in the wilderness. Something was released in the wilderness. It worked for His good to go through the wilderness. Now, I'm not going to try to preach you into a wilderness. I want to bring you a word, if you're in one, that will help you navigate through it and have confidence in it that God is working it out for your good. Amen. Now, in the wilderness experiences of life, God gets our undivided attention. You know, if you were God, you'd be amazed how hard it is to get your attention. And I'm talking about me as well, because there's all kinds of competing voices, distractions that really carry our attention away from the Lord and onto the affairs of this life. And sometimes the Lord has to bring us into a wilderness place, really, for us to get certain things out of our life. Things that need to be shaken out, moved out, delivered out, laid down, walked away from. In the wilderness, worldly pursuits are no longer satisfying, and we learn to hate them and desire Jesus more in the wilderness times, because He's got our undivided attention. When Israel arrived in the wilderness, God gave her vineyards from there and made the Valley of Achor a door of hope. Now, I want to explain to you the Valley of Achor, because that doesn't mean anything to most of you. Let me tell you what it means, a little bit of history. When He mentions in Hosea chapter 2 here the Valley of Achor, Achor in Hebrew literally means trouble, or actually troubling, to be troubled or experience troubling. In Joshua 7, verses 10 through 26, you can read about when the Valley of Achor was coined. It was coined by Joshua because there was a man named Achan who was one of the soldiers in the army of Israel, and they went to take a particular city. Actually, it was Jericho. And when they went into Jericho, Achan stole some idols that were made of silver. He stole these idols, and he took them to his tent, and he dug a hole underneath his bed, and he buried this stolen treasure, silver. He covered it up, and he said, "Now I'm okay. Nobody knows. This is between me and God." All right, fast forward. The next town they decide to take is called Ai. Ai is so small that Joshua says, "You know, we don't even need to really send our whole army. Let's just send some of our elite force and let them go into Ai and take it, because it won't be that big a deal." So they send this elite force, and the men of Ai came out and totally slaughtered the people of Israel. And they came running back to Joshua, utterly defeated. It says Joshua fell on his face and he said, "Oh my God, something is wrong, because if God is for us, who can be against us? And when we went against Jericho, we totally won. It is not the will of God that we lost this battle. If we had the favor of God, we would not have lost. So what's going on?" And God said, "Get up off your face and stand up, and I'm going to talk to you." And God told Joshua, when he stood up, he said, "There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp." And Joshua, that's the problem. And so the Bible says that Joshua got together a search and find team, and they started going tent to tent to tent and asking, "Is there sin? Is there sin? Is there anything in your life that has brought this curse upon us?" And the Bible says they came to the tent of Achan, and Achan was trembling in his boots. He knows that in his tent, buried in the ground, is stolen silver, idols that were used for idol worship. And so he's trembling, and he faces the man, the top man, Joshua. And I love what Joshua says to him. He looks at him and he says, "Give God the glory, son." "Give God the glory, son. Have you got anything you shouldn't have?" And he said, "Oh, I confess. It's me. I saw these idols of silver and I stole them." And I'm going to tell you the rough part. Because men had lost their lives in this battle. They would never have lost their life if there hadn't been sin in the camp. So Achan was guilty of having brought the death on many people. And so the Bible says that Joshua got him and his family and all of his cattle and all of his goods, and they were all executed. That's tough. Say, in this day and age, we don't do that. I mean, that's tough for us to hear here in America, but that's what happened. Now, here's the good news. As soon as Achan was dealt with, the blessing of God came back. And they began to take city after city, and they moved forward. Now, here's what happened. Joshua came up with the name of Achor, in the Valley of Achor. He said, after Israel lost the battle, Joshua said, "This will from now on be called the Valley of Achor." And then it says in verse 25, Joshua said, "Because why did you bring trouble on us to Achan?" So when Israel and the Hebrew people thought about Achor, it was immediately negative. When the Hebrew people thought about Achor, it reminded them of defeat, of compromise, of loss, of harsh judgment, and it was a real, real negative. So in Hosea, when we read that God has made the Valley of Achor a door of hope, it's no small thing. Anybody who was a Hebrew and heard this said, "What? You're going to turn the Valley of Achor into a door of hope? You're going to turn trouble into hope? You're going to transform trouble into hope?" God was telling Israel that he was going to take them from a wilderness of great trouble to a place where, are you ready? I love this. Hope was all they saw. Amen. Now, let me bring this home to us today. Trouble happens to everybody in this room. Many of you today are in a time of trouble. Trouble is in your life. Sometimes, like Achan, we bring the trouble upon ourselves, and that's the hardest trouble to go through. When you know you did it to you. When you know you played the fool, and I've been there 100 times, you played the fool, and because you made a bad decision, now you're in a valley, a wilderness of trouble. we make bad choices, or we take a well-meaning but an unwise path, or we involve ourselves in something that God has said, that's forbidden, but we go anyway, like Adam and Eve. Took the fruit of that tree when God had said, that's the one thing I don't want you to touch, one thing I don't want you to eat, and that's the very thing they ate. They had their choice of everything, but they took that one. How many of you know exactly what that's like? Amen. When you're in trouble, valley of trouble, the troubled one, when trouble has come your way, you've got problems that seem bigger than you. Some of you are there right now. You often feel like there is no way out. You look around to the left, to the right, up, down, all around. You see no way around it, through it, above it, below it. Trouble has come knocking on your door. Worry, fretting, sleeplessness, despair are familiar companions to the person who is in trouble. And I'm talking to people who are saved, because never does the Bible say, if you're saved, you won't have trouble. We feel like the disciples in the storm at sea, with the waves beating against our boat, and the waves are coming over, and the wind is howling, and the rain is falling, and the lightning is flashing, and it even seems like Jesus is asleep in your boat. They were in that boat, not of their own idea. Jesus had said, get into the boat, we're going to the other side. So they were in the boat at Jesus' call, and now they're in this storm. They didn't do anything wrong. Amen. And they said, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? If some of you have felt that way, don't you care, Lord? Are you watching? Are you aware? Do you know where I'm at? Do you know what I'm experiencing? Why this? Why that? And Jesus got up, I love this, got up and yawned and looked at the wind and said, stop it. And went, whoosh, nothing. He looked at the rolling, threatening waves and said, stop your rolling. And the waves stopped. And the disciples asked the million-dollar question, who is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. And I can almost hear Jesus saying, that's exactly what I wanted you to ask. So let me inform you, I am not just any man, I am very God. So nature obeys me.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
But many of you are troubled today. You love the Lord. You've tried to live right. You've been doing all the right things. You've been faithful in many things, and yet trouble has come knocking from nowhere on the door of your life. Your marriage is in trouble, or your kids have gone crazy and gone off, and you've been wondering what you did wrong. And can I inform you, chances are you didn't do anything wrong. They've got their own will, but still you're having to deal with that and navigate that. And it's a storm because you can't believe where they've gone. Trouble has come knocking. You've lost your job and you didn't do anything wrong. They just downsized, or for some reason you were asked to step down, and now you don't have a job, don't know where you're going to go, don't know where the money's going to come from or how your bills are going to be paid. You're in a wilderness of trouble. And then others of you are like Achan. You've made a bad decision or a series of bad decisions, and the peace of God has lifted. And now the consequences are rolling in, and sometimes you feel like they are more than you can bear. How am I going to get out of this, God? How am I ever going to recover? How am I ever going to get out on the other side and skip again and smile again and sing again? And I came with a word today for you of very good news. I came to preach Jesus up and preach the devil down. I'm going to tell you, with Jesus, there is always hope. I want you to say with me, with Jesus. Jesus. Say it like you mean it, with Jesus. Jesus. There is always hope. I like doing that because hell has to hear that. I like giving hell heaven. So how is he with me? Because I don't sense him, Jeff. Here's how. He's there for you with a promise consisting of four I wills. I want you to listen to them. First one, I will bring you into a wilderness place. That's good news. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Second, I will speak tenderly to you there. Third, I will give you vineyards from there. Fourth, I will transform the valley of your trouble into a door of hope. Now, those are four great I wills. Amen? Now, let me just deal with them one at a time. I will bring you into a wilderness place. I will. Now, when God says I will, he's going to do it. I will. I will. Now, when I hear that God's going to bring me into a wilderness place, I don't feel like looking up and saying, thanks, God, for bringing me into a wilderness place. But see, even though it doesn't sound very appealing to you and to me, we don't see the wilderness like God does. And it so helps things to see circumstances the way God sees them. You realize when you see it like God sees it, that the wilderness is a place of protection. It's not a place of danger, it's a place of protection. And here's why. Because in the wilderness, gone are all the conflicting voices and distractions and other competitors for your attention. You are alone there, which is exactly what God wants, because in the wilderness, what God does is he gets our undivided attention. God said to Israel in Hosea chapter 2, verse 6, just backing up a little bit, the same chapter. He said, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and will wall you in. You will chase your lovers and you will not find them. Good stuff. You know what he's saying there? In the wilderness, when you get into a tough place, rough place, difficult place, you're going to go looking for those things that you were leaning on before you got into the wilderness, and you're not going to be able to find them. The only one that's there with you in the wilderness is God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What is the next part? For thou with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You are preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the promise of God. So here's what he does in the wilderness. Here's God's way. You will look for those things that you have leaned on other than God, and you will find that you can't locate them. And that's all a part of God's plan of protection and weaning us away from anything but him. He protects you in the wilderness by cutting off every bad influence, every idol that has replaced him. And in doing so, he gets our undivided attention. So in the wilderness, instead of being distracted here, distracted there, going there, leaning on this and leaning on that, in the wilderness, we're alone and we have our Bible and we have a place to sit down. And there's nothing there but up. And God says, hello. I will lead you into a wilderness so I can get your undivided attention. Then next, I will speak tenderly to you there. The Hebrew actually reads like this. I will speak to your heart. I'll speak to your heart there. You know, God didn't quit speaking in the first century. Can I give you some news today? God has not quit speaking. You're going to tell me the devil can speak to us and tempt us and lure us into sin, but God can't talk? Listen, I've learned that if you're listening, God is talking. If I'm listening, God is talking. I will speak to your heart there. Rather than bring judgment or treat us harshly in the wilderness of trouble, God chooses to be tender and speak to us tenderly there. This is the whole purpose of the wilderness experience, that we would learn not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God told Israel that that was the reason he took them into the wilderness, to teach them. You don't live by bread alone, a paycheck alone, a roof over your head alone. Life comes from every word spoken out of the mouth of God. And he wants to speak to our heart. Have you noticed that one word from God can pick you up? One word from God can heal your life. You can be dragging in the dirt and God can speak one word and you're like a new man with miles and miles and miles of ability to run and walk and achieve and do because of one word from God. So, you know, Kathy has a favorite talk show host. I won't tell you who he is, because some of you would probably get mad. Now, he's conservative, not a liberal, but she listens every day. She orders her day around this talk show host. When this talk show host is on, I'm not anywhere in the house. He's got her attention. She just likes him. And so when we traveled this week, we're outside of Houston, and you know, AM, the AM channels, 570, 660, 880, or 820 and 1080, they are radio blowtorches. Their signal just carries. And so we were trying all the way to Houston to get this person in, and it was snap and crackle and interference and other voices. You'd get his voice, then another one, then his, then static, and then all kinds of noise. Finally, I turned it off. I said, Kathy, good try. We can't do it. She went into deep prayer. No, I'm kidding. But me, always thinking metaphorically of some spiritual truth, it occurred to me, that's the way we are with God. God is talking, but there's so much noise, there's so much competition out there in the hustle and bustle of life that we don't hear. We hear the voice of Jesus, then the voice of something else, then something else, then somebody else, and then noise, and then static. So God calls us to a wilderness place, gets our undivided attention, cuts out all the other voices, and then says, I am here. And he speaks. And boy, do we need to hear what he said. Remember Elijah. Here's Elijah. He is the man of the hour in his day. And he faces the prophets of Baal. He encourages them to put together this huge sacrifice of wood and water poured on top of the wood. And then more water poured on top of that water to where this wood pile was totally drenched in water. And then Elijah called fire out of heaven. And it fell. And it consumed that offering where everybody there fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. But then in one day, you see Elijah running from the threats of one woman, Jezebel. I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow night. He hits the trail. He's running. He ends up in the wilderness. He's under a juniper tree. And he says, God, kill me. That's right. I'm not going to do it myself, but you do it. Kill me. I've had all this fun I can stand. Find somebody else to be the prophet. Kill me. And you know what God did? He sent an angel. The angel gave him food. He said, sit up and eat. You're going to need this because the journey's too far for you. So he ate it, fell back asleep. The angel woke him up again and said, eat some more. You're going to need it because the journey's too far for you. So he ate it again. And then he got up and he ran. You know how far he ran? 40 days and 40 nights on one meal. That's angel food cake. And he gets to a cave. And when he gets to the cave, God said to him what he said to some of you just lately. What are you doing in here? What are you doing here? And Elijah said, well, Lord, I've been jealous for you. They're killing all your prophets. I alone am left. They're after me. I'm depressed. I'm done with this. And God said, go stand in the mouth of the cave. He goes to the mouth of the cave, and a great howling wind blew by. And it says God wasn't in the wind. And then a great fire roared by, and it says God wasn't in the fire. And then an earthquake came and shook everything around him. It says God wasn't in the earthquake. And then a still, small voice. It says he wrapped his face in the mantle and stood at the mouth of the cave, and he recognized that it was God. What was God doing? He was tuning him in, reacquainting him with his voice and speaking to him in the wilderness, in a cave, alone. And that's what God does with you and with me. He speaks words of comfort, words of understanding, words of hope, words of encouragement, and words of restoration. So in our troubles, God often leads us into the wilderness, and he speaks comfort to our hearts. What's he saying to you today? Have you been listening? And the third I will is this. I will give you vineyards from there. Another version more accurately puts it this way. There in the wilderness, I will give back her vineyards to her.
Thanks for tuning in today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. 877-884-3111. You can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Also, did you know that Life Talk is on hundreds of stations all across the country? You may have family or friends who would love to know how they could listen to the program as well. There's a comprehensive station list at our website where they can see how to find the program in their area. Finally, Life Talk is a daily program, but also has daily cost. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these timely messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. So thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.